I named this the altering experience. How many have had some encounters with God this past year? Some pretty awesome things, and we're looking forward to what God's going to do in 2024. And as we proceed to share with you the vision that we've kind of that God has laid upon our hearts, we're hoping that that will be magnified this year. So let me just begin saying, wherever we encounter God, it becomes a sacred place. It becomes an altering experience. When we build an altar, it is like setting up a memorial. We're not talking about setting up a physical memorial, but it's something that's in our mind, it's in our hearts, and we're attached to it emotionally. It's a place that we can reference. They are road markers in our life that we can go back and see where God did something incredible in our lives. Sometimes we initiate the building of an altar. How many know that? Sometimes even gathering here this morning, it is initiating an altar with the belief that God's going to show up. But there is also the idea that once God shows up, how many know, it becomes an altar. And so we can read many of the patriarchs in the Bible. Sometimes they built an altar because God showed up and they began to worship him. And sometimes, like Abraham, he would travel around, he would build altars, praying and hoping that God would meet him there in the new place. So an altar represents a place where we meet with God, where God reveals himself to us. It's a place where God does something in us. It's a divine encounter that can alter the course of our lives. It is a source from where the blessings flow. If you want the blessings of God to flow in your life, I encourage you, build an altar. Have an altar time with God where you meet with God. And out of that relationship will flow the blessings of God. There is a difference between initiating a memorial and initiating a religious practice. How many know that? A memorial is something we visit and then we move on. How many know we celebrate certain holidays? Memorial Day, Christmas, Easter, right? It's one day a year, but we don't stay there. We don't pitch a tent. We don't get stuck there. A religious practice is something that we participate in consistently. It becomes a ritual. And how many know that rituals have a tendency to lose its power? It just becomes that, just a ritual. It becomes empty. It becomes kind of a useless practice. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Elijah, and we're going to even look at the disciples here today, experienced God. And when they experienced God, they built an altar. But they built an altar, but they didn't stay there. They moved on. Sometimes they would come back to that altar, but most of the time, they never did again. And so we have our altars. Do you remember the place where you were saved? Where you were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized, healed, maybe even called by God? We may have gone back and we have visited those places, but most of us have visited those places in our minds, not maybe showing up there physically. But we don't go back to those places and park. It would never be the same. How many know that when you have a great experience and when you do it a second time, it's never like the first time, right? And so God has never meant us to get stuck trying to experience the same thing we have in the past. When we built this altar, they are holy places, and they are places of blessing. And so I'm going to look at Exodus chapter 20, if you'll go there with me this morning, and we're going to see what God says about altars. He actually has put out some regulations. He has given us some instructions on how to have an altar. And so we're going to be looking at Exodus 20. If you're familiar with Exodus 20, how many have ever heard of the Ten Commandments? All right, you've heard of the Ten Commandments. It's in Exodus 20. And so this is on the backside of God giving the Ten Commandments. And so we're going to begin there, and I'm just going to read through. The verses are my points here today. And so we are going to go. Here we go. Ready, set, go. Okay. Number one, don't make an altar for an idol. We read in verses 22 of chapter 20 of Exodus, and it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, you are witnesses that I have spoken to you from heaven. Remember, you must not make or worship idols of silver or gold." So we begin here with a commandment. God just tells us what he is expecting out of us. But he also says, I am a jealous God. How many know that God is jealous? He is very jealous for you. He does not want us to have any other gods in our life. And we know that jealousy is a very powerful emotion. And most of us have experienced that. I will say all of us at one point in life have experienced what it is to be jealous. He goes on and says in Exodus 20, verse 4 and 5, when we're talking about the Ten Commandments earlier in that chapter, he said, do not make idols of any kind. You must never, are you getting it here? He's being very straightforward. Worship or bow down to them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not share your affection with any other God. God does not want to share you with anybody. He loves you that much here this morning. We know what an idol is, and this is my definition for, since it's my sermon, it's my definition. An idol is this, something you are more passionate about than God. That's very simple. And many of us are very passionate about a lot of things, but we need to keep them in right priorities. There's consequences for making idols in our life. Exodus 20, verse 5. Could you put that up there? I didn't write that in my notes. Yes. So we see here the consequences of making idols. You also know that what happens when we have idols in our life, it becomes a generational judgment. Isn't that what it says? To the third and fourth generations, to those who hate me. But it is also a generational blessing, right? When we do not serve idols, when we put God first in our life, guess what? It becomes a blessing to what? Is there another verse? Or is that it? No. Okay, verse 6. What's it say? All right, to 1,000 generations. What impact, right? The blessings of God are upon our lives. So the first thing he says here is don't make an altar of any kind whatsoever. Put me first. Then he goes on and says in verse 24, he says this, the altars you make for me must be simple altars of earth. Offer on such altars your sacrifices to me, your burnt offerings and peace offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. So what we find out is when we make an altar, God forges a bond with people when we meet with him at an altar. And so what popped out of my mind here was he said, make simple altars of earth. You know what earth is? Earth is basically dirt. It's loose dirt, if you would define that word in the Hebrew Bible. The original idea is red tillable soil. How many know what Adam means? Red dirt. How would you like to be named Adam? Just a pile of dirt. Red dirt, all right? And so we see here that he said, I want you to make altars of simple earth. Basically, this connects Adam to all humanity and the soil. We know that what God took soil, what did he? He took dirt and he breathed life into Adam. We read in Job, we read it at funerals, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, right? And so that's what we are made of. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And how many know he has chosen to live within us, not physical buildings? And so he has chosen what? To have a temple of dirt. Doesn't that make you get you excited here this morning? You're a temple of dirt. And so what we find out is that altars are very organic in nature. It takes us back to the roots, to our grassroots. Organic means this, relating to or derived from living matter. There's nothing artificial. Aren't you glad our relationship with Jesus is not artificial? It means denoting a relationship between two elements of something that fit together harmoniously as necessary parts of a whole. So it's important that we have these altar times. It's that time when we, what? Connect with God, and he connects with us. The two become what? One. So this describes our relationship with God. How many know that following God is very simplistic? You've seen the commercial, even a caveman can do it, right? The Bible says even a child can do it. The Bible says we need to come and approach God even like a child. So why do we go about complicating it? Why do we go about making it hard? We are to connect with God. So God forges a bond with people through altars. Through these special times, these special encounters with God, he is bonding with us. He goes on and gives this instruction. Altars are built for significant encounters with God. If you read the second part of verse 24, it says, build altars in the places where, it's important, I remind you who I am. Isn't it important that we need to be reminded of who God is? We get so wrapped up in our circumstances and our problems, or other people's problems. He said, build altars in the places where I remind you who I am, and I will come, hallelujah, and bless you there. Well, when that altar time is where the blessings are found, church. Altars were built after or before encounters with God, as I have said. Whether God provoked it or we provoke it, or we establish it, God wants to meet with us. The problem is we tend to major in the minors. I've been in a church a long time, as many of you in here have been. And what people deem as important is often insignificant. And we know that the devil is a deceiver and he is a schemer. And he likes to tickle our ears. We have our favorite preachers. We have our favorite teachings. And some of these things sometimes can become a major distraction from a divine encounter. For the simple fact that we look for God along the lines of our pet doctrine or theology. We expect God to come along those lines in which we are very strong and are strengthened in. Those areas where we think he should be answering our prayers in, or in a way that we think he should be answering our prayers. People get caught up inside eddies. You know what an eddy is, right? In a river, that water that comes and it circles around. And we're not fishing, folks. If you're a fisherman, you want to fish those eddies. Because it's in those places that when the bait comes down, the food comes down for the fish, it's kind of like a smorgasbord, right? And the fish gets to choose what it wants to eat as it circles around in front of them. But we're not fish. Well, maybe you are. I don't. I'm not a fisher. But it's not good for spiritual growth. That is why I'm a proponent of reading through the Bible, not just topical. How many of us are into so many topics that we kind of overlook the rest of the Bible? I began to collect books. I've taken some leadership courses, lots of leadership courses, by Christian and non-Christian leaders. There's a lot of books out there that will propose you on how to do church. But it can get frustrating sometimes because how many know the worldly method is not God's method? That God sometimes has a different plan and a different way of doing things. We are not called to do church like the world. The Bible tells me unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. So we can have all the plans, all the strategies as we begin to present our vision to you as a church. We can have all these things out and say, this is going to be the answer. It may not be the answer. We are very flexible in what God wants to do. There are principles that we can accept, principles that can help us along the way, but we need to be careful, church, that we don't get caught up in our own mindsets and our own plans and the way we think things should happen. If God speaks to you, how many know that's significant? That's important. And it's a good place to build an altar when you encounter God. God wants to reveal himself to every one of us. He wants to speak to us, whether it be by a new revelation or just a simple reminder. How many know we need to be reminded sometimes of just the basics 101 Christianity? The blessings of God are found here in his presence. He wants to encounter you. He wants to bless our socks off. But we've got to have those altar times. We've got to have those moments of time where we get together with God. He goes on and he says, don't alter the altar in verse 25. He said, if you build altars from stone and use only uncut stones, do not chip or shape the stones with a tool, for that would make them unfit for holy use. We tend to want to build shrines where we meet with God. We like to get our hands on things. We like to kind of be in control. But when we do, those holy moments become tainted. They become unfit for holy use. That unfit means profane, unclean, desecrate, pollute, to make unholy. In church, we are not called to pitch a tent and want to stay put when we encounter God. Let me give you an example of the disciples in Mark chapter 9. We all have a tendency kind of to lean this way at times. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched Jesus, his appearance was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter explained, Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. That'd be an awesome place to be, wouldn't it? Seeing Jesus transformed, seeing Moses and Elijah. Rabbi, it's wonderful. It's great for us to be here. But well, look what he says. Let's make 3 shelters, tents, booths, dwellings, whatever you want to call it, as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He said this because he didn't really know what else to say, for they were all terrified. The truth was, it was out of his control. It was out of his control. Then the cloud overshadowed them, verse 7, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved son, listen to him. I kind of interpret that as that, shut up and listen to Jesus. Suddenly when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. And as they went down the mountain, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Can I share something with you? Everything that God shares with you one-on-one is not necessarily for everybody else. We don't necessarily have to teach it. We don't necessarily have to write a book about it. It's for you. It's for you. Don't alter the altar. Let's not be distracted by building programs, physical buildings, programs, by these monumental moments that we have with God. They're important. They're stepping stones. But it's not where it's not our foundation. We're going up, right? We want to move beyond that experience to the next experience, from glory to glory. We do not need to be distracted from hearing God's voice. God told Peter to shut up and listen to his son. And sometimes, folks, we just need to shut up and listen. And obey. Amen? And the last thing God gave concerning the altars, he said, the altar is a holy place. It is a distraction-free zone. In verse 26, we read, and this is kind of weird, and you may not approach my altar by steps. If you do, someone might look up under the skirts of your clothing and see your nakedness. Mm-mm-mm. I'm glad I'm wearing pants. Hallelujah. Amen. You'd be traumatized for life. Amen. It's the holy place. The altar is where we meet with God. It is a place of authenticity. It is a place of integrity. It is a place of vulnerability. When we come to an altar, we can't bluff God. And most of the time when we respond to an altar, we're not there to kind of pull something over on God. We're there because God has spoken to us, we recognize it, and we respond to it. It's doing business with God. That's what an altar is all about. It does not matter who you are or how you're ministering. Even in this church, whether you're preaching or teaching, whether you're on the worship team, whether you're singing or whether you're playing, whether you're testifying or whether you're exhorting this body, whether you're operating in the gifts, this is a sacred place. And it does matter what we say. It does matter what we do. It does matter how we dress. We are representing the King. We are representing Jesus. You know, I've had people tell me in the church, I don't care what people think. Folks, we need to care what people think. Because we are called not to be a stumbling block to the presence of God. We are there to be a messenger. We are there to be a conduit of God's grace, His power, and His mercy. Whenever you meet with God, privately or publicly, it is a sacred place. It becomes an altar. And God established these guidelines for the proper use of altars. So anytime we meet with God or God breaks in on our world, folks, they are altering experiences in more than one way. We don't make an altar for an idol. God does not want to share you. That is the bottom line. You are that important to Him that He does not want to share you with anybody else. You are it. Secondly, God forges a bond with people through altars. That's where we connect. Folks, if you don't have a regular altar where you're meeting with God, I encourage you, please do. Because you need it. As this world is spinning out of control, just watch the news. Folks, we're faltering, people are faltering, people are falling away. But we need to connect with God. Altars are built for significant encounters with God. Folks, if you're not going to respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit to build an altar, you're going to miss out on what Christianity is about. Church, attending church is not what it's all about. This is not what it's all about. If this was all about, I would be discouraged. This is not what it's about, folks. It's far greater than that. It is a place that we transact with God. It is a place where we need to give God some things, and then God needs to give us some things. It is a place of transaction. So these altars are built for significant encounters with God. Don't alter the altar. Don't pitch the tent. Don't encounter. All right? Keep your paws off. Enjoy the moment. Don't be thinking ahead of time, what can I do to continue this? What can I do to build on it? Keep your paws off. Let God do the work. Let God do the work in you. And the altar is a holy place where we honor God and we avoid distractions. Folks, we don't want to be distracted in these days. I'm praying these are the last days. Amen. Amen. We live in a broken nation among broken people in a broken world. And so I just want to encourage you. We are called to the altar. We are called to respond to God when He speaks to us. Let's pray. Father, we come into this place today knowing that You are God. And that we are not. But the greatest thing You've ever done for any of us is call us into a relationship with You. If you're here today and you need to make that decision to follow Jesus, I encourage you this morning, before you walk out of this room, connect with Him. By recognizing this morning that Jesus Christ took our place, that He carried our sin, our failures, our shortcomings to the cross with Him where it was nailed. And today we can experience new life, a new start in Jesus Christ. I encourage you this morning, if you're here this morning, just to say yes to Jesus this morning if you have not. Or if you've been walking away, He's encouraging you to turn around and come back. We can walk away 1,000 steps, but it only takes one step toward Him, and He's there. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you today. to build an altar. We encourage you at the beginning of this month to read your Bibles. We encourage you to start a habit of prayer in your life, to do it on a regular basis, to connect. Not for it to become something that you dread, but it's something that you enjoy because you're meeting God. He's doing something in you that is so incredible, more than what we could even begin to think or ask. And so, Father, we come to you today. We commit ourselves to you. We commit this next hour to you, Father God, as we do business, as we celebrate some of the great things that you've done over the past year. We're just looking forward, God, to just your presence. Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people here today. We thank you for those who participated in preparing the food this morning. All the hands that were on deck, Lord, so many were a blessing this morning. We thank you for just the fellowship we've had. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray that something here said today, a scripture that was read, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, a convincing of the Holy Spirit, encouragement of the Holy Spirit might have happened here this morning. Lord, may we draw close to you because you said if we draw close to you, you will draw close to us. We love you this morning, and we just give you the praise, the glory. Everybody said, amen.